everything comes up. It's all over again. And so.
No, I wasn't ready to break up with someone. I'm okay having my heart broken. I'm not prepared to break someone else.
Yes. Okay, sorry.
I wanted to emphasize what Jeannie was saying about the pain we have to go through. And this is a concept that I learned, that you have to go through it at some point. And so if you choose to not go through it now and distract yourself with dating and people and marriage, be aware you will have to go through it eventually. And it is so much harder from the people I've observed when they get married to have to go through it. And that's oftentimes why divorces happen. So go just take it, just dig your feet in and go through it. And just, you know, it stinks, and figure, you know, the journey out, you know, take time to figure out who you are and what makes you happy again, and learn how to become happy alone, truly happy. And personally for me, the quote that we hear in the temple, "It is not good for man to be alone," I don't think that means marriage. I think it means it's not good. We need companionship, friends, lots of friends. And for me, that has been so healing for me, is to find lots of friends to do things with, and different kinds of personalities, and look forward to spending time with them versus focusing in on getting married.
Yeah, I was going to say, I kind of came to the same conclusion. What I realized when I was alone, I was becoming incredibly selfish. Everything I did was about me. Where I went, what I chose to do, and I realized over time that I was becoming really self-absorbed. And so it wasn't just about being married, but it was about making sure that you are still giving to other people and serving and doing those things that you need to. Okay, so for those of you who are here for the first time, the first principle that we're going to talk about, or we have talked about, is the fact that when we find ourselves single, typically the first thing we try to do is to go get married. We want to find somebody and fill that gap. If you came out of a relationship that you adored, and most of us do, some don't, as a widower, you want to get right back on the horse and go for the ride again. And the problem with that is it creates an environment for you to be hurt, because you're focused on getting married rather than being focused on being happy. And Joseph Smith said, I'll read this again, "Happiness is the object and design of our existence." He doesn't say marriage is the object and design. So often what we have to learn how to do, which is what Jean spoke about, is find yourself being happy first with who you are and where you are. And in that continuum of that happiness ride, it's more than likely that someone will come along and you will be married and you will be healthy and available and to be able to give. You don't need somebody to make you happy. You need a compliment. Somebody that can work with you and to become a team with. So that was the number one red flag. Don't focus on getting married. Focus on being happy.
There's a quote on there. Have anybody of you heard of One Fit Widow? She has a blog. And I love that quote. It's on the handout. Let me see if I can find it. Says, "Over the year and a half since loss, I was determined to work on me, and for the first time in so many years, I finally knew who I was as an individual. The best advice to those who are thinking of dating after loss would be to find yourself first. Don't look for someone to complete yourself, and then look for someone to complement who you have become. Don't look to replace, and don't expect things to be the same. They won't be, and that's okay. Love yourself first, and then decide if you can love someone else. You aren't defined by your past. Live. Make your dreams come true, and don't live in fear. You can do it." So I remember when my healing first began, I was called by my state president to serve in the temple as a temple patron. And that calling meant that I was to attend the temple weekly and do any ordinance that I chose, but just to be in the temple for at least an hour a week. And that was just the most wonderful experience. I've done that now for 7 years. And I remember starting to feel peace for the first time by being in the temple. And it gave me hope again, because I knew if I could feel peace in the temple, I could feel peace outside the temple. And so I started doing and choosing to do new things outside the temple. I started to develop new hobbies and new friends and doing things I'd never done before, and started to really find joy in just my life. And I didn't find the need to find someone to help fix me, to fix the pain. And so that's how my journey started. Kelly?
Yeah. So, see, she started in the temple, not me. I went the worldly route. I played sports in high school and college, and so I just went back to sports. I got involved in kickboxing and also running and just doing some things like that that really enlivened me. It made me kind of get my life back together again, and it helped me realize that I could be okay. Now, prior to that, I told the story before that my friend asked me to, just 2 months out from my wife being gone, to just get back out there and start dating, and I did. And I went on online. Anybody done online yet? That kind of fun thing? Yeah, everybody. It's crazy, but I tried that. And my experience was I'd get on, I'd stay on there for about a month or so, and then I'd get discouraged and get off. And then I'd get lonely, and so I'd go back on, and that was the roller coaster ride for me. But I couldn't buy a date. I'd send out a message to somebody, and they wouldn't respond back. And I, you know, those, what do they call them when you send, like, little hearts? Or I've been gone for so long that I... No, not yet. Yeah, when you send like a little heart to them so that they know you're interested or whatever, I don't know. Nobody responded. Oh, winks. Okay. So I started to get really discouraged about that process. And finally, some sweet lady sent me a message and she said, "You look like a nice guy, but you also look very unhappy." It was at that point that I realized that I was wearing that grief. People could see it in me. They could feel it in me. And I wasn't healthy. I thought I was. I thought I was doing the right thing, you know, getting back out there and doing the right thing. But that wasn't what happened, and nobody was interested. But after I did this exercise program for a little bit and I got kind of my life back together, things began to change. And I started to see a lot more activity on my website, whatever you call it. So, again, the thing that we want to help you understand is what Jean brought out. We need to make sure that we are healthy emotionally, physically, and spiritually, and that along that process, so that we can be there and be available for people. We feel like we're doing okay. I said this before. Those of you who have been out 4 or 5 years, you look the year past and you say, you know, I'm feeling really pretty good. But as you look back, you realize that you're feeling better now than you did a year ago. And that happens with every successive year. And so that needs to tell you something, that each year you're progressing and you're getting healthier. So be patient in this process. Part of what we do is we rush into this dating relationship too quickly, and we're not prepared for it. We mentioned in the last class, divorce rates among widows and widowers are extremely high. And so you need to be aware of that. We rush into those relationships because we think that God is talking to us, and we'll talk about that a little bit.
I'm kind of wondering, since this is a Q&A, do you guys want to talk, to ask some questions before we proceed any further?
I got on LDS Planet a couple of months ago, well, 6 weeks ago maybe, and is there something wrong with me? Because I go through all these pictures, and I go, no, delete. Am I crazy? Do I need to be a little bit more patient? I actually put on my profile that I would only be interested in men between like 68 or 69 and 77. But yet, there's men who contact me that are like 62 or 80 or 95. Don't they run these profiles?
The guys don't care. We're not going to listen to what you put on here.
If you look cute to us, we're gonna approach you.
I also put on there that I'd only be interested in somebody who is a widower, because you know I think that the divorced ones should be looking for somebody they can be sued to.
Can I address that? Absolutely. Yeah. So let me just raise that question, because that's a good one. Marnie talked about last time having a list of things that you're looking for, and she talked about a non-negotiable list. And that might be something like a temple recommend. Well, let me tell you what my wife's non-negotiable list was. She wanted somebody tall. Okay. And she wasn't going to marry a widow. My wife is divorced. And so had she kept to that, we wouldn't be married. So while you need to have that, you need to be open to the things that might be different. And the thing is, you don't know who God is sending you and who is preparing. So I'm not sure I would qualify only a widow, because there may be a wonderful divorced man who is available that God is preparing right now. Okay, bunch of questions. I'll start over here.
Well, I'm in response to that one.
Okay.
Because mine was long distance doesn't work. Last year at the conference, the advice was you spend a week there and a week saw each other. So those who have not done a website like LDS Planet, thinking that it's, you know, not going to work. I met my sweetheart. We're getting married June 11th, and I met him on LDS Planet, a widow in Vegas.
Yeah.
The person who said it will never work long distance is now eating crow, and I'm loving it.
See, my wife I met on LDS Planet, okay, we probably shouldn't be plugging those guys. She lived in Provo, and I lived in South Jordan. We would have never crossed paths had it not been for something like that. Another question over here. Yeah. Can everybody hear her?
Yeah.
Okay. No?
No.
Okay, stand up and speak up.
When we put limits on what we want, we are sometimes blocking what God wants us to have.
Susan, Sandra, sorry.
Yeah, no, you're good.
Oh, you got this?
Where he knew not long after they got married that it was not a good thing, but they tried to make it work. It was brutal at best. The situation wasn't good, but I married him anyway, the fact that he'd been divorced. And I just have to say, you can't, I know that we all of us widows say, oh, I'm a widower, that's it. But I don't think that's a fair thing to do, because I think, I love what you shared. I think sometimes we're limiting ourselves, and I think we need to be wise. I think there's a lot of wisdom, and I think it's okay, because I feel the same way still. I get what you're saying, because I even go, oh my gosh, how can I relate? But my husband was truly, absolutely phenomenal. And I'm not just saying that because he's dead. You guys understand. He really, but he really was that amazing. And had I gone on the fact that he was previously divorced, of course, and then he was widowed too. So I was like, what's wrong with this man? His first wife committed suicide, now he's divorced. But, so that gives you an example. It can work. I think it's all about trusting God and asking God, what do you want for me? And not what do I want, but what do you want? Because God knows the whole picture. It's about putting our will to God, and it's about trusting him and listening to him. So there's nothing wrong with saying you don't want to, but let's face it, how many widowers are there to widows? Odds are you're not going to find a widower. I mean, the odds. You might. But I'm just saying, I think we need to trust God. It's all about trusting God and his will.
I wanted a guy who was spiritual. He's not a member, but he is extremely spiritual, had his own relationship with the Savior. That's sort of emotional. And social. I'm a social butterfly. I needed somebody who could do that. So those...
Sorry. I meant that in the nicest way.
I have those kinds of things in my mind that I wanted. That's everything right there,
yeah.
Kelly. Mm-hmm. The timing was right for both of us, and so that's what worked out.
Yeah. Good, lots of questions.
Yeah, I remember the different time frame between the men and women married for widows versus widowers. And I've heard 6 months for men and I don't know how many women. Do you know what I'm talking about, anybody?
No, say that again, because
okay.
I'm not sure I understand that.
There's different time frame between widows
married sooner?
Yes.
The last statistic I saw said that the guys are 4 times more likely to get remarried than the women. Okay? So most likely, guys are task driven. It's a problem, we're going to fix it. And so we just jump on the horse and we start moving forward, and we're going to go to the process and find a wife.
Well, one of the things is a time frame, like 6 months after a guy gets, his wife dies, or like a year after a woman dies. And the time frame is really steady.
I'm not sure, to me, to start dating or to do what? What about the time frame?
Yeah, I guess to get remarried.
Okay.
You get remarried, date, and then all that stuff. Do you understand?
Yeah. So, oh, please.
You know, I read it on the internet and I can't remember.
So it's got to be true.
It seems like for men it was within the first year and a half, and for women it was like 3 to 4, 5, 6, and you know, it was just.
So here's the thing though, on a timeline, if there isn't one, we're all individual. We all heal differently, we all grow differently, and we progress in different ways. And so there just has to come a time when what you do is you talk about our first principle, we focus on being happy first. And in that dating continuum, as we are working on being happy and healthy, somebody comes along. It could be 6 months, it could be 10 years or longer.
Kelly, good decision.
I love that.
Okay, well, but I mean, let's just put it into,
yeah, no,
into let's do this.
Yes.
So good decisions come from good information.
Yes.
Good information regarding interpersonal relationships takes a lot of time.
Absolutely.
To gather that information. One way to cloud that information gathering process is to inject emotion into it. Whether it's emotion, make a good decision while you're driving and angry. What's what happens? When you're driving and somebody makes you angry, bad decisions happen.
Yeah.
Well, make a good decision regarding interpersonal relationships when you cloud it with romance. When you cloud it with that,
yeah,
your information gathering process is at that point compromised.
And that sounds
so important. That's why this dating thing was important to me,
yeah,
is to say, what are the red flags?
Yeah.
I mean, I see red flags on the field all the time,
yeah,
but nonetheless, this needs to take time. The Lord's time,
yes,
but it needs to take time.
We talked about this in the first class,
okay,
and one of the things that happens when you're in a healthy relationship is the logics plugged in and the heart. They work together. So the problem happens when we lose our spouse, our heart is driving us. The logic just goes out the window because we're in so much pain. We tend to make decisions out of how we feel. And that's why it's so important to not make any major decisions that first year, because you're usually making it out of emotion. And you think you're, some people, true. But generally, that's why you see so many people making mistakes, making wrong decisions, because they think they're making the right decision, but they're choosing it out of their heart. And so it takes time for that heart to heal, that and the mind to work together again, so you can think and feel and make a logical, good choice. So that's why this whole class is about, taking that time.
Okay, I agree. Yes, you've got to have that time to find yourself and say, okay, I'm okay or whatever. But how much happier are you now, Kelly, that you've reached that point? Wasn't you willing to give up anything to get back to?
There's no question. You cannot, you just can't measure.
How long can you keep saying, okay, I'm just going to keep waiting, I'm going to keep waiting. Aren't you ready to say, you know what, I want a piece of what I have?
Yes.
I mean, aren't you so much better before that?
Yes. But look, I took a year before I got married. And we traveled together. I didn't kiss her for 2 months. So I wanted this relationship to build a friendship first and then grow from that. And I feel like I married in place all of the wonderful things. When you do the physical side first, you're messing with yourself. And you're short-circuiting the whole system, and the relationship doesn't grow in its proper way. And so, you know, it doesn't have to be the whole year. Like I said, 2 months for me, and that was felt like forever. But it worked. But so to back to your question is, I have friends who married and they're not happy that they married. They think they made a mistake. I don't. And so we're focused on marriage as the first one. Don't do that. Be happy. The second one is what happens when we touch and we kiss. Hormones. Okay? All of these chemicals kick in. They affect the way you think. They shut down your critical mind and you're emotionally driven. And the third thing is that in that state, plus the vulnerability of the first one, you start having feelings. These chemicals give you feelings. Blame her.
So these feelings that we have actually work against you, and you think that you have impressions. Now, I'm not saying that you don't have impressions, but more often you feel like you do because of the concoction that you're, yes.
So they were, again, number one was...
don't focus on getting married. Focus on being happy first. And then as you're in that process of becoming happy, marriage will more likely come to you. And two, avoid the physical, because as you are physical, chemicals kick in. Oxytocin, what else did we talk about? Dopamine, endorphins, all of those things kick in that affect the way you think and the way you feel. And they're designed. Our body was made that way so that when we're in a healthy relationship, yeah, exactly. We're having So these chemicals cloud the way you feel and think, okay? And so what they do is they sometimes will cause you to think or feel things that maybe aren't there or are there, and if they are there, they magnify how they are. So often, widows and widowers, we get feelings and impressions that we should marry somebody. We just do. I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but we have them. And I'm talking about everything from a girl that I dated, told me that she had a vision from my wife, and that my wife told her that she had already found somebody else in the afterlife, and that we were supposed to get married. This is an LDS lady that is there.
Kelly's had 7 women tell him they've had visions. I've had 2 men tell me that.
And I think it's really helped us. So even if you're dating locally, the instinct is you want to be together. I think it's really neat if you spend a lot of time on the phone, then you avoid a lot of the physical problems that come up, and you still get to get through what really matters, whether you're local or long distance.
Yeah, so there's a lot of truth to that. One of the back downsides to that I found in a long-distance relationship was we had this great exchange. We even did the Skype and everything and thought it was wonderful. But when I met her, it was nothing like being online. We had nothing in common. Jean.
I'm trying to think, in that class, Jonathan said you should spend a lot of time together. Mm-hmm. But 2 elements had to always be there. Spend a lot of time together, spend a lot of time talking. You were doing a lot of talking. You weren't kissing. So that was important. But it was always, he really emphasized being together. I spent a lot of time talking on the phone to my husband. When we got together, I was like starting all over because I had a great phone relationship with him. But now he was there in person, and it was different. So, I think you really need to know
both.
Yep.
Well, there's a great relationship building tool that has been used to help many avoid getting into unhealthy relationships. And we talked about it in the previous class, but I think it'd be important to bring it up again, if we can. If not, anyway, we're going to put it up here on the screen so you can see it. It's from the book How to Avoid Falling in Love with a Jerk, and it's on the handout. And it's or jerkette. It's a fantastic seminar. I've taken it. I can't even emphasize how how awesome it is. It's vital to take it. It helps you avoid getting into unhealthy relationships.
What
yes. Jethro.
And he said, if you fall in love with Jethro, don't forget
you get the clampets. Yeah.
And there's a lot of truth in that. So even if you're older, it's important to check out the family because you're going to get the clampets.
Can we have someone come up and from the other room and put this up on the screen like you did before? It's not working. Same trouble in the class before.
While we're doing that, why don't you go into how you traveled together before you got married? Because that's what we've done too.
Yes, exactly. So a couple of things that I did, like I said, I wanted to date somebody that I for a year before I got married because I felt like I needed to see at least a year's worth of data. How's that? Okay. And you got it. Through all the holidays, all of the seasons, that kind of a thing. The other thing we did was we read books together. His Needs, Her Needs was a great book. And we also read The Anatomy of Peace, which is about relationships. And the fact that, you know, we were older, we were in our 40s, or I was in my 50s, I guess, by then, so I know, crazy. We came from two different lifestyles completely. She was raised in Arizona, and I was a Utah guy. But reading just those two books together forced us to talk about things we never would have thought about until we were married, and they could have been problems. So read, spend some time together using that method to get to know each other. Travel. We went on a couple of vacations together, and I don't mean go to the beach where you're sitting on the side, you know, drinking milk all afternoon, but go someplace tough. We went to Samoa, and that was a crazy place. We found some beautiful things to see, but we were in rooms that were ant infested, and it was crazy. But we learned how to communicate. I saw how she dealt with fear and anger and challenges and problems. I would never see that. Look, dating is all about marketing and packaging, right? That's what it is. We're always at our best when we date. And you never know what you've got until after you're married, typically. When you travel, it strips all of that stuff out, and you see really quickly who you're dating. And you know really quick. Okay? So, yes.
What do you think about? So what do you think about a situation where someone says, I'm not interested in remarrying, but I want you to, you know, like, I got invited to come to Europe for 2 months, not 2 years. 2 months. You know, if I just paid my way there, he'd take care of everything else. But it was like, why am I going to waste 2 months of my time and my life?
So let me just say, that's kind of a thought, Nina, that makes me look like, yeah, but that's like, if you wouldn't be wasting your time if you were dating, if you were in your life to be happy. You would view this as a European experience, right? So if you're thinking about this guy might be the one, but he doesn't want to get married, right? Let go of that. Go enjoy Europe at somebody else's expense. Yeah, Guatemala. Okay? So sorry, please. Sorry? Yeah, there you go. There you go. So if we're living to be happy, we would take advantage of that. Okay? And I apologize, but that's just kind of what it made me feel like, yeah. Don't worry about it, you know? Don't worry about it.
And I just want to add to that. If a man says he's not ready, he is not ready. And don't be thinking you're going to change him. Men are pretty literal, and I've learned that. So this is the model that I was talking about. It's called the relationship attachment model. And as you can see, there's five dynamics to it. Know, trust, rely, commit, and touch. So think of this as an equalizer on your sound system. As you move the bar up on each dynamic, it represents the extent to which you really know a person. For example, your best friend likely knows you better than just about anybody else. So this knowledge creates attachment. To the degree you have opened up and shared yourself with your friend, you have become bonded to your best friend. So then you can move to the next level, which is trusting, and so on. So over time, the goal is to have all five at the top level where feelings of attachment are the very strongest. So in dating, it goes the same. Knowledge is the first dynamic that you need to work on, not the touch, the knowledge. Take time to get to know the person. Take time to know about their core values, what causes them stress, how they handle their children, how they handle your children. You know, there's so many things you need to get to know about a person. And this is a good time to write up your non-negotiable list. So once you've determined that you feel like you know them pretty well, this determines the degree you can trust them. And this trust directs you to the next step, which is how much you can rely on them. So the extent to which you know, trust, and depend on that person, and finally, any degree of physical involvement is safest when it matches the content of the levels of the other four dynamics. So many people go out and think, gosh, you know, I got to find out if there's chemistry with this person. I got to kiss them, you know. Okay, for one, if you're going out with them, you probably have a little bit of attraction to them anyway. So there already is chemistry, really. So let's just get to know them first, right? That when you start getting into the physical, you can't think straight. So take time to get to know them. The most important thing to remember in this style is to keep a balance among the five dynamics. Never go further in one bonding area than you have gone in the previous. You can't trust and rely on a person that you don't even know. So, any comments on that, Julie? I'm not quite sure your question.
Okay, he
just wants to be a friend.
Yeah, wants to be your friend.
Yeah, and then he's telling you, I just want to be a friend. Yep, don't be thinking he's going to want, he doesn't want later. Right. Questions? Did I answer your question? Did I answer you?
No.
Okay, I didn't think so. I'm like, you're looking like no.
I mean, there's several guys that we know, okay, and they do this all the time. You know, hey, I'm going to be around, come get me, let's go do this or whatever. They expect you to be at their beck and call or whatever, or meet me here, meet me there, whatever. Yeah, sometimes they pay, sometimes you, you know, whatever. But
they're not committed.
So again, if you're focused on happiness, who cares about a free dinner? And you know, this is about that. At least you're out. You're not home and maybe feeling lonely, but don't be available every time. I mean, start saying, no, I have other plans. You don't have to be available every time somebody calls. But it is companionship, and it is something to have fun while you're finding Mr. Right, okay?
You know, the one thing I refuse to be is somebody's go-to.
Yeah, okay.
Last minute, oh, hey, you want to come? I'm like, no. Because if they don't have enough respect and ask you a couple days, you know, I always say, even the guy I was dating, you don't ask me by Wednesday. My weekend's taken. You know, I'll do things with my kids and my grandkids or whatever. So that was one of the things that I just sat down. If that didn't ask me out by Wednesday or Friday or Saturday, I won't be somebody's go-to girl because I just, you know, that's not what I want to do.
And that's a great comment because let me tell you from a guy's perspective, what that means is we're very comfortable with you. We have fun with you, and we enjoy being with you, but we're not interested in marriage. So again, if that's not somebody, you know, yeah. So, but okay. We had a question back here. You raise your hand.
I'm not going to say this correctly, but
So were you here the last session? Okay, so that was me as well. So here's what happened. The vulnerability of the loneliness that we have. The first time a woman touched me, I describe it as being lit up like a pinball machine. My body just took off. Because as Marnie talked about as well, when you're used to having that process and getting while you're married, when you are suddenly single, you literally are going through a withdrawal of the hormones and the chemicals from making love and a relationship that is in love. And it affects us. And so when we enter into that too soon, it literally does, though. It clouds our thinking. We talked about the drugs, and maybe we should go through some of those. But the drugs that happen in our mind, the dopamine, the oxytocin, the serotonin, they're designed. They actually shut down the frontal cortex. We don't think like we ought to. And so we're not as clear in our decision-making. And that's why we call it a red flag, is because you're entering into a zone that is more, you know, just going with the flow than actually going with the no. And so we just, that's why we're saying be careful. We want those experiences. That's fun. That's great. It's a blast. But give yourself just a little bit of time so that you can get to know these people intimately first and then build on that relationship. Well, but you have another danger from a guy's perspective. And I just learned that this year, okay? No, the other danger is that when you kiss a woman, she thinks you love them and that you're committed to them. So we actually play with their hearts when we do it too soon.
Women have a way of letting a guy know that they're interested without being all over them either. I mean, you know, you can pat somebody's hand or...
You first, and then we'll have other two up here.
Go ahead. I was just going to say the male-female differences. When I took a class at BYU last semester with a 26-year-old, who I've been through with. But the male-female differences, I made a big mistake at Christmas time because people were trying to line me up with my niece's father-in-law, and I knew that that wasn't something that was going to work for me. Anyway, we had a big dinner. Everybody's happy. We were all... You know, everybody's hugging. I gave him a hug. He thought that meant I was interested in dating him. Mm-hmm. So to me, I have just met three women in the last 12 hours that I've hugged that were totally strangers to me before. And it just means, I see you, you know, I'm glad you're here, I'm glad you accept me. That's what I was saying to him, but the male difference, he interpreted that differently than what I was.
That's right, right.
Before we have these other two questions answered, my thought was going somewhere, and I wanted to just interject it real quick. I have a friend, this may help you, Stan, who she met a guy, and they decided to go out, and they had a lovely time. And so they had a conversation, and they said, you know what, I really liked you, let's go again. And so they went one more time, and they said, you know what, this seems really like a good fit, let's not date anyone else. So they're having really clear communication. And I like you, let's get to know each other, but there's not going to be no physical. And they're like, yeah, okay, let's do this. And so we're going to try it for a week, not dating anyone. And then they went and got this book from the library, 101 Questions to Ask Someone That You Want to Marry or something like that. And that's all they do on their dates. And so they're getting to know each other, and they know that they're looking about this with getting married in mind. And so each week they reevaluate it. And yeah, I still like you, and I'm getting to like you more. So they did this for not 2 months. They did it for 5 weeks without any physical. And by this time, they were both felt very, they trusted each other. And they knew that they were both interested because they're talking about it. I don't know if that helps.
What was that book?
And now they're married.
Nice. What was that book? 101 Things to Ask a Potential Spouse?
I think that's what it was. 101 something. And there's also 1,001 questions. Okay. And they're questions you would never think to ask. But when you ask them, you find out these deep things about their soul and the person, and it bonds you, you know, or you like delete, you know, goodbye, you know. So, okay, what were, there was two hands over here. Go ahead, Carrie.
One of the things I was in comment to that thing I have an assistant that works for me, and she's 24, and she says, kisses are precious. She says, they're precious. So, and she said, well, sit down and write how many people you kissed in your life.
Mm.
How many people you kissed before you found your husband.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
I really was embarrassed. So if you think about maybe how many, if you do that exercise and say, this is how many people I've kissed in my life, and then when you tell one of your children, you may want to lighten up on it a little bit, because it can get pretty embarrassing.
It's such a delicate, challenging thing, topic, because women feel so different about it than men. And it means something to a woman, and not, and men just, it's just fun, and it's nice.
Get more involved with the kissing. The men's hearts don't get as involved, and I think as women we have to be aware of that.
Yeah.
That to put, because most women, to them, kissing is definitely a bigger deal than it's intimate.
It means commitment. It does. It does. So if you find out the guy you're dating is dating other women and kissing other women, it's devastating.
It is.
So what did we say the last class? For women, kissing produces the same hormone as breastfeeding.
Mm-hmm. Oxytocin. It's bonding hormone.
So that's why it's different between them and us.
Because men don't have that. You have it, but not to that degree that we do.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. So there was one more question that I was going to get to. Is that are you like scared to ask now? Kristen?
Well, and this is kind of a combination validating a little bit of both of you. I met someone 2 years ago, and he was 5 months out, I was 2 years. Neither one of us were ready, but we instantly were best friends. And he was extremely active, and he got me active again, and it was amazing. I was getting out. I was becoming alive again. But the Spirit told me from the beginning, he is a friend. He is not who you will marry. And I almost felt like my husband had sent me. And I called him and did it. And I knew he was leaving to go out of town. And I knew he was supposed to meet someone out of town. He did. He met her. And non-member, the first chance he had an opportunity. She came out, he pulled back out of the church. Everything that had been told to me came to fruition.
What a blessing you were in tune. What a blessing you were in tune to all that and to be guided by this. It was not easy. Yes. I've done the exact same thing you've done. I understand. Yep. Stan?
So, not to change the subject. I don't know if this could be helpful, but
I
still remember the first time that I knew I needed to start dating and that I had somebody I wanted to date. And I was literally paralyzed with fear in trying to go down that road.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was the fear of being rejected, but really it was just this flat-out paralysis where I looked at the phone and I just could not put it up against my dial a number and put it up against my ear. And so finally I did it, and one of the interesting things about dating is that really, it's just a big deal. Being rejected is not a big deal unless you make it.
Yeah. Right.
But if you're out there trying to date, and I think it's as easy for women to go ask guys as it is for guys to ask women in our society anymore. At least now that I'm older.
I'm from the old school.
And it becomes easier and easier and easier. And after a while, just being comfortable with who you are, being comfortable being single and not searching for marriage all the time, feeling like you've got control of your universe, so to speak, then it becomes just one of those things that mm-hmm. where it's really interesting to get to know women.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I think getting to know women.
It's almost 1 o'clock, and that just opened a whole bunch more of comments I want to say on that, but I will restrain. I just want to let bear with you. The Lord loves each and every one of you so much. He's so aware of the journey we're on, the grief that you're in, and He just wants you to turn to Him, and He will guide you through this journey. And thank you so much for coming to this class. I hope you've learned something, and I hope you enjoy the rest of your day. I think it's time for us to go to lunch, and thank you so much for coming.